Now we come to another very important, even crucial point. It isn't even enough to approach Buddhism as Buddhism. That's good, but it isn't enough. We have to approach Buddhism also as a whole. Buddhism is a very ancient religion, as you know. It has behind it already 2,500 years of history, 25 whole centuries. During this time, especially during the earlier part of this period, it overspread practically the whole of Asia, the whole East. And in the course of these centuries, as it overspread these vast areas of the globe, it underwent a process of continual transformation and development and adaptation of its fundamental doctrines to the different conditions and needs of people in the midst of which it found itself. And in this way, many different schools, many different traditions came to be founded, came to be established. And historically speaking, we may say, Buddhism is all of these. Buddhism represents this whole vast development taking place in the course of 2,500 years all over Asia. Now, I have no time for details this evening, but broadly speaking, we can say that there are, in the world, three major forms of Buddhism. In the first place, we've got what we may call Southeast Asian Buddhism, the Buddhism of Southeast Asia. This is current in Ceylon, in Burma, in Thailand, Cambodia and Laos, and a few other places. This form of Buddhism is based on the Theravada Pali Canon. That is, the version of the Buddhist scriptures in Pali, handed down by the Theravada, the school of the elders, one of the most ancient of all the schools or traditions of Buddhism. So this is the first, Southeast Asian Buddhism. Secondly, there's Chinese Buddhism. This includes Japanese Buddhism, Korean Buddhism, and Vietnamese Buddhism. All of these, at least in their early stages, were offshoots of Chinese Buddhism. And Chinese Buddhism, and all these subsidiary Buddhisms, Chinese Buddhism is based on the Chinese Tripitaka, or three treasuries. The collection, in Chinese, of the translations of all the available Indian Buddhist scriptures, of all schools, Mahayana, Sarvastivada, Sautrantika, and so on. Then thirdly, there's Tibetan Buddhism, including the Buddhism of Mongolia, Bhutan, and Sikkim. This form of Buddhism is based on two great collections of canonical works, or canonical and semi-canonical works, the Kanjur, or translated word of the Buddha, and the Tanjur, the translated commentaries, by the great acharyas, the great Buddhist philosophers and spiritual teachers. So these are the three great major forms of Buddhism at present extant in the world. Southeast Asian Buddhism, Chinese Buddhism, and Tibetan Buddhism. And all these three are offshoots of Indian Buddhism, or branches of the original trunk of Indian Buddhism. Southeast Asian Buddhism, we may say, represents the first phase of development of Indian Buddhism, a phase lasting from about the Parinirvana, or death of the Buddha, up to about the beginning of the Christian era, a period of 500 years. This is what we call the Hinayana phase of development, when Buddhism was stated predominantly in ethical and psychological terms. Now, Chinese Buddhism represents Indian Buddhism in the second phase of its development. That is, it represents a sort of amalgamation of Hinayana plus Mahayana. That is, Hinayana plus the more devotional and metaphysical developments or expressions or manifestations of the Buddha's teachings. This phase lasted very roughly from about the time of the origins of Christianity up to about 500 AD. Then Tibetan Buddhism, we may say, represents the third phase in the development of Buddhism in India, a phase lasting from about, very roughly, 500 to 1000 AD, or a little longer than that. And this is, of course, Hinayana plus Mahayana, plus what we call Vajrayana, or yogic and symbolically ritualistic Buddhism, about which I've spoken sometimes in connection with the Buddhism of Tibet. Now all three forms of Buddhism, all these three major forms, Southeast Asian, Chinese and Tibetan, all these forms contain or include numerous schools and sub-schools. Southeast Asian Buddhism, or in Southeast Asian Buddhism, the differences are largely national. That is, Sinhalese Buddhism differs from Burmese Buddhism from Thai Buddhism, and so on. Although there are also individual sects or schools within each particular country. As in Thailand, they've got two major sects, the Mahanikaya and the Dhammayutta Nikaya. We need not go into that. In Chinese Buddhism, there are very many sects indeed, or schools, like the Tiantai school, the Huayin school, the Chan school, usually known as the Zen, and so on. Altogether, perhaps about one dozen important schools. Japan, too, has schools of its own, which it developed quite independently of Chinese influence, especially the Shin school and the Nichiren school. In Tibet, of course, we've got the Gelugpas, Nyingmapas, Kagyupas, Sakyapas, and so on. Now, I'm not going into any details here, and I'm mentioning all these names rather rapidly just to give you an idea of the richness of content of Buddhism. All these schools, all these traditions, all these different forms of teachings, all these adaptations, all these applications of the central fundamental principles. And when we approach Buddhism, we approach all of these. We approach Buddhism as a whole. We don't approach just this one school or that one school. We approach the whole and the total Buddhist tradition as it developed over 2,500 years over practically the whole of Asia in all those different countries. We certainly don't treat one particular school of Buddhism as though it was in fact identical with the whole Buddhist tradition, or was in fact the whole Buddhist tradition. Unfortunately, this is sometimes done. One can sometimes read books about Buddhism in which one finds statements like this. I'm just selecting a few at random. In the introduction to one particular book on Buddhism, I found this particular statement. The Buddhist scriptures are to be found in the Pali Tipitaka. Now, if one examines that carefully, it's not correct. One can say the Theravada Buddhist scriptures are to be found in the Pali Tipitaka. That's quite correct. If one says Buddhist scriptures, then one is leaving out of consideration the Chinese canon, the Tibetan canon, and several other minor canons also. So here one is regarding the Pali canon as identical with the Buddhist scriptures as a whole, which is a mistake. In another little pamphlet I found this statement: Buddhism teaches salvation by faith in Amitabha. Well, it's quite true that the Shin sect teaches this, or the Shin school of Japanese Buddhism, but it isn't quite correct, in fact isn't at all correct, to say Buddhism teaches this. One is attributing to Buddhism as a whole what is the teaching of one particular school. In other words, one is identifying the school with Buddhism as a whole, which is incorrect. Then in another book, or rather booklet, I found this statement: the Dalai Lama is the head of the Buddhist religion. Well, the Dalai Lama is certainly the head of the Tibetan branch of the Buddhist religion. He's the head of Tibetan Buddhism, but he isn't the head of the whole Buddhist religion. So here again, one is confusing the part, that is to say Tibetan Buddhism, with the whole, that is Buddhism itself, the total tradition. So in all these quotations which I've cited, the part is mistaken for the whole. And one makes a statement allegedly about Buddhism, which is true really about one particular branch of Buddhism, one particular school, or even one particular sect or line of tradition. So in all these cases, the part is mistaken for the whole. So one should not approach the part thinking that one is approaching the whole. In other words, one's approach to Buddhism should be not a sectarian approach, it should be a synoptic approach. One should approach the whole Buddhist tradition, whole in time and whole in space, and try to include, comprehend, understand and fathom the essence of it all, not just of one particular aspect or one particular part.